When it comes to climate change, there's a $9 trillion gorilla in the room, and he's starting to throw his weight around. Hi, I'm Scott Ott with Stephen Green and Bill Whittle, and this episode of Right Angle is brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, that $9 trillion gorilla is an investment company called BlackRock. Chief Executive Officer Lawrence Fink sends out an annual letter to corporations. Last year, he kind of put the corporations on notice that climate change was going to be a defining factor in how BlackRock looked at investments in the future. And this year, he's kind of doubled down on it. And now, Stephen Green, basically what BlackRock has said is you need to have a plan if you're running a corporation. You need to have a plan to get to a carbon neutral or carbon negative footprint during some period of years that you describe, and a plan to disclose where you are in the process if you want to retain the favor of the world's biggest investment company. Steve, as a little L libertarian, this is different than the government telling you what to do. This is other corporations pressuring each other on what to do. Do you have a problem with that?
Yes and no. Let's get a little perspective here. $9 trillion. We bandy about a lot of T words lately, especially, you know, with Congress just spending $2 trillion here, $2 trillion there on COVID relief and all the rest, you know, $1 trillion annual deficits. But the world's most valuable company right now, or at least American company, is Apple, which is trading at about $2.4 trillion. The next most valuable company is Amazon, and they're trading at about $1.67 trillion right now as we're taping this. So if you combine the two biggest companies in this country, two of the biggest companies in the world, it's not even half the size of these guys.
I want to be clear on this, because I believe the $9 trillion is assets under management rather than...
Yes. That's the amount of weight they have to throw around. Add Amazon to Apple, multiply by 2.5 or 3. I mean, Good God, that's some muscle to throw around. I don't think I like anybody having that much weight to throw around. On the other hand, as a small L libertarian, I'm not sure what, if anything, to do about that. That said, what they're doing isn't necessarily as benevolent or what's the other word I'm looking for? Well, let's just go with benevolent for now. What they're saying is, if you don't do these things with our high-priced advice, government is going to come along and make you do it. So what we essentially have here is kind of the ambulance chaser of big finance. They see a situation, it's created by government or is about to be created by government, and they found a way to insert themselves into this process to make crap tons of money, of which clearly they don't have enough.
Now, Bill Whittle, Stephen Green is right to a certain extent, or at least critics have said that BlackRock is merely engaged in a form of marketing that will make them look good, but they see the freight train coming through the tunnel, and they're basically saying, hey, everybody, why don't we do this voluntarily before we're forced to do it? But they go even further beyond that. In fact, they're saying that, you know, for example, last year in 2019, so-called sustainable investments, companies that are engaged in some sort of sustainable activity with regard to climate change were more profitable than the market on average. They did better than the market in general. This is from CEO Lawrence Fink's letter. He said, the more your firms, he's writing to corporations, the more your firms are seen to embrace the climate transition and the opportunities it brings, the more the market will reward your firms with higher valuations. So he's basically saying it's not just virtue signaling, but it's good business to be invested in what one might see as the future of America. Now, it becomes a bit of a challenge, Bill, to decide how you're going to be seen that way, because typically many corporations have already done all that they think they can do right now to reduce their carbon footprint. And so when they get to that sort of physical cap of their capabilities, given current technology, then they start doing things like investing in carbon credit marketplaces. But that is a kind of a fishy business too, because there's no real standard for how that works. There's no way to audit that and to see. It's more like it's a signal that you're sending. All of this, Bill, to say, Is this just the way the messy marketplace of free markets and capitalism works and we should just let it run? Or do you have some concerns? Do you think the government should step in and stop this nonsense?
Anytime you start a sentence with, do you think the government should step in, you already know the answer to the question is no. I am disappointed to hear this from BlackRock, the $500 billion investment that they were thinking about making in BillWhittle.com's out the window, because I've made a public pledge to triple our carbon output in the next 3 years.
I went out
and bought 200 lawnmower engines when we got this extra membership thing, and they're up on the roof running nonstop now. We're doing our best. Look, they're offering financial advice to their clients. That's what they do for a living. And they're telling them, I think, that this step is coming. This is what Joe Biden's election means. And I think what they're basically doing is they're giving them a heads up saying, you can either get on the train now and be prepared for it, or you're going to have to comply with it later. And we would rather be on the investing in people who are ahead of this curve rather than behind it. And as you pointed out in our backstage show, there's undoubtedly some virtue signaling. And as you also pointed out, they may really believe this is true. The thing that I think needs to be borne in mind during all of this talk about the trillions and trillions of dollars that it's going to take to conform to climate standards that don't exist. There are no standards. There are no metrics. There is no target. It's simply something that people do in order to look good. And of course, the price is going to be paid by poor people. $1 trillion companies can afford an electricity cost raise, and so can Microsoft, and so can Bill Gates, and so can Zuckerberg, and so can Al Gore, for that matter, who you may remember. And all of this virtue signaling is something that rich people are doing to impress other rich people. But the people who are going to have to pay for it are the people who are struggling now in the middle of this COVID economic crisis. They're just struggling. We're past the point where they're thinking about making their next rent payment. Some of them are thinking about making the next dinner payment. And now we're going to have an administration that's going to bring in, mandate, coerce people into buying electricity from less efficient sources that is going to be more expensive. And they're the ones who are going to suffer for it, as usual. And it's just enough to make a grown man weep.
I think this is an interesting quandary for somebody who generally has a hands-off, the marketplace perspective on life, as I do. On the one hand, you're thinking, well, you know, hey, BlackRock, who do you think you are to tell me what to do? On the other hand, I could say, look, I don't care what you say, BlackRock. If I need somebody to invest in my company, I'll look elsewhere. But BlackRock is able to do some things that other companies can't do. For example, they can take a significant share of my publicly held stock and then become part of a muscle crew to push board members around, to get their own favorite board members elected, to get other board members removed from the board of my publicly held company, if I had such a thing. The challenge becomes how much authority do we want to have in the hands of essentially what it looks like here is a single individual and perhaps behind him his board of directors at BlackRock. Do I want the federal government to step in and say you're not allowed to throw your weight around in this manner and influence elections of corporate boards? I don't think I want that either. and I think it ultimately comes down to if you would back any business that you support using their muscle to influence an issue that you support, then where do you draw the line and say, well, that company that's interested in the issue that I don't support shouldn't be allowed to do that? I think it's really hard to solve that. And ultimately, I think the free market will out. So if you allow this to continue down the path, either these kinds of investments are going to be profitable and people will flock to them and put more money in them, or they won't. More likely than not, though, it's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy because the government, rather than essentially preemptively telling corporations what to do, will come in after the fact, after most corporations have already done everything they can do, and say, you have to do this thing that you've already done. At which point businesses will say, don't tell us what to do, even though we've already done it. It is a dance that goes on and on and on, and it starts because we have opened the door to the influence of corporations in our government and to the influence of our government in private corporations. And I don't know how you put that genie back into the bottle, but I'd sure like to cram him back down in there. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.